Welcome to the China Flexpat Podcast. This is a new episode and it's very special in many regards because this is our first Korean guest. And also, this is a real professional on career development, especially international careers from China to the world and from the world to China.
Thank you, Francis, for the warm welcome. I'm really happy to be here and I'm feeling honored to be the first Korean guest in your podcast. As Francis introduced, I'm a Korean living in China for almost 7 years. And I came here as a student and then now working. I worked for a while in a corporate jobs and now I'm having my own company. So my career journey has been quite diverse. I work in 4 different companies and 4 different job positions and 4 different industries. And now I'm a career coach working and helping to guide an individuals for their career development, helping them to gain a clarity and courage to navigate their own career journey in China.
And how did you do this? How did you first come to China?
Well, ever since I was a very young kid, I was always thinking that Korea is too small for me. Like, go global. I always was looking for global opportunities. And the first opportunity I got was 2013 to come to China as an exchange student. And before I was coming to China, I heard a lot of like bad things about China, like it's dirty and it's crowded, it's noisy, people are not polite. But when I came, it literally opened up my eyes. I literally experienced the current Chinese culture. I fell in love with people in China, the cultural history there, as well as the technology development here. It was like another level, nothing comparable to Korea. So I fell in love with China. And ever since then, I was always looking for my development in China. 2013 was the first. When I came back to Korea, I was like a little girl, fall in love with somebody who I always wanted to get back. And 2017, I finally came back to China. And that's when my entire China journey started until now.
That's amazing. And now you're entrepreneur. So how did this happen?
I'm always a curious person who wanted to also explore the other career opportunities. So as even during my master's studies, was about entrepreneurship and management. So I was always studying and I not only studied inside a classroom, but I was mostly outside of a classroom, exploring different cities and talking to different entrepreneurs around China, like Shenzhen, Beijing, Nanjing, and like that. And this really got me curious about what is even more possible in China. So, of course, after graduation, I started my career in a corporate job as a recruiter and also as a marketing manager. At the end, it naturally led me to start my own business as a career coach and consultant.
And how did you start your career immediately after you graduated from university? So how did you prepare to enter the job market?
During my master's degree in China, I always actually wanted to start my own business. But at that time, I had a limited knowledge and limited networking, or also maybe I wasn't having that clarity and courage on what kind of business exactly I wanted to do. My graduation date is coming on, which means my student visa is coming into the end. So I gotta make a decision, you know? I didn't want to leave China, but I also didn't know what kind of business exactly I'm gonna do. So that's why I was like, okay, let's first try to look for job opportunities. It came to me naturally because at that moment, I already have a vast number of network as well as the degree from the top university in China, Zhejiang University, one of the top universities in China. So I quite have a lot of like love calls from different corporates. But one of the offer that I got was working in a business school at the Zhejiang University, which was established right around the time I graduated. So it was like a startup organization. We only have less than 10 members in the team. So that really got me excited. Okay, let me first experience the startup organization. How does this small organization grow into the bigger ones? So that's how I started my first career journey as a recruiter and marketing manager at a business school. But basically, I was like, doing all a little bit of different things because you understand the startup organization.
That's amazing. So now you're real experts on how students can enter the job market. So what's your advice? What can students do to use the time in university and especially this dangerous gap of finishing university and how to jump into the workforce. What's your advice?
That is one of my biggest passion, helping the foreign students to thrive their career development in China, because I was in their position. And most of the students who come to me have the same concern like you just mentioned. And the only thing that I tell you, that first, get good at Chinese, because the fact that they came from different country, different market, different understanding, different perspective itself is already a super valuable in China. But the only maybe challenging part is the language barrier. Still, not a lot of like Chinese people are able to speak fluent English. So if they cannot communicate their value to Chinese people, they don't see it. So if they are able to really have a good understanding about Chinese language itself and can communicate with Chinese, I'm not talking about super expert level Chinese, but conversational Chinese level is super important when you build up a network, when you create an opportunity, when you reach out to people and then share your stories, how you can deliver the value, then the opportunities is yours. So I always advise the students in China who study in China to first focus on getting good at Chinese.
But what can be the added value that international graduates bring into the workforce when, I mean, speak Chinese, okay, I understand, but there must be something more, right? So what did you offer when you graduated and when you applied for your next job?
Their background. So the fact that they came from different country itself is very added value, because of course, right now we're experiencing this very open economy of China, but generally it hasn't been a long that China opened its border, and there are less Chinese people who actually have a global experience, but their economy is growing. They do a lot of business with other countries. The local people from local countries that they're doing business, their perspective, their experience, and their knowledge and their networking is really valuable to Chinese people. For example, as a Korean, we're able to speak Korean, and who grew up in Korea, who understand the Korean market, and who has a network in Korea, I am super valuable to those, any type of the businesses who's doing the business in Korea. Because from Chinese perspective, there may be some, it may take some time, or it's challenging to understand, fully understand what's going on actually in Korea, regulations there, networking's there. But me, as I grew up there, I literally just naturally bring all those resources to China. An additional plus is that I am able to communicate these things in Chinese to the Chinese people. This is creating a huge bridge between Korea and China. And this applies to any other expats, flexpats from all different countries.
Yeah, I can totally relate to this, because this is what I'm doing now. I'm helping a Chinese company go international. The whole automotive industry is very Germany focused. And there's a lot of German content, German customers, suppliers, partners, and so on. This is my role to close this gap. And I think, yes, it's a huge value. Just being German, not even having worked in this industry, but it's a huge value. But my first interview was in Chinese language, completely in Chinese. It's even 5 years ago, it's a long time ago, but it was amazing to really be able to speak to the team in Chinese, even though I was applying for such a very unique role, which only foreigners can do. If I ask you, apart from bridging this market, apart from knowing something about another country, what else can foreigners bring in compared to Chinese graduates, Chinese professionals?
Well, it also may vary depending on the type of like graduate, because there are also a very talented global Chinese with global mindsets. But also what differentiates between flexpats coming into China is also about the mindset. Because think about it, foreigners coming to China itself, it tells a lot about themselves. Why would I leave my comfort zone in Korea and come to China? It means I'm very proactive. I just don't stay in a comfort zone. I keep pursuing the challenging, and then also I keep pursuing the innovation, learning, growth. This mindset really differentiates, sets us apart from the local people. This is not only, I'm not talking about Chinese people, it also applies the same with foreigners in Korea compared to the Korean people in Korea. The mindset is really different. the fact that we are very innovators, creators, we go for the challenges, we pursue the innovation, and we get out of our comfort zone, it really sets us apart. And that is a mindset many companies need, actually. And that's the reason maybe sometimes even I work in mostly with other Chinese people in a position which actually don't need my Korean language skills, but they still hire me just because I'm foreigner with this different mindset that sets apart from the Chinese local people.
So let's talk about that. When you joined McKinsey, you didn't need your Korean, right? So why did they hire you?
That's exactly the question. I asked the same thing on my first day to my direct manager. Why did you hire me? Because when I got hired, I didn't have any HR background, and I was hiring Chinese consultants from US to China for Chinese for McKinsey China office. So main language that we communicate is English and Chinese. No Korean needed, no Korean background needed. So I was really surprised. But during the interview, actually, they did ask me, why did I apply for this job position? I don't have any HR background, and I'm non-native Chinese speaker, non-native English speaker. But I had a clear idea on who I am and my core values, what kind of value I can bring to the company, and what kind of skill sets that I can bring to the company. As I mentioned about this proactiveness, innovation, not staying in a comfort zone, but constantly pursuing some challenging myself for the better growth and challenging myself in a new environment for the growth. Also, this value and also constantly communicating, always asking question why, and think about some other creative ways. These values that I can bring into McKinsey and from according to their job description, these are the values that they need, they were looking for. So I literally kind of sell myself like this, you know? Yeah, of course, I'm non-native Chinese speaker. I'm non-native English speaker, but I do understand Chinese culture. I speak fluent Chinese and English, as well as I have these experiences that I built up this experience that can add value to the position. And it made sense. So when I asked my manager, why did you hire me on the first day of my work at McKinsey? She asked me, she told me that it's because of who you are, not because of your Korean. Or not because of you're good at Chinese or English, it's because of who you are, Dasso. And that really got me.
That's amazing. So how did the Chinese professionals learn to work with you? How did you fit into the team as the only FlexPed?
Yeah, it was actually a very challenging part because one another challenging part is that I don't look like foreigner. So many times they just forget about the fact that I'm foreigner. So I'm literally like mingling along the Chinese, my colleagues, like a Chinese. So at the beginning, of course, it was difficult because the general language, working language is English. But imagine like you're sitting in the meeting room and everybody is looking like a Chinese people. Of course, the manager would use Chinese language to host a meeting. And that was a normal case. Mostly the meetings, conversations were all carried on in Chinese. At the beginning, I was a bit frustrated. This wasn't what I expected. It is a multinational company, and they are also asking me to host a recruiting event in Chinese language. And I was frustrated, and all of a sudden, I began to close my ears, not listening anything because, oh, I cannot understand those languages. And one day, what hit me is that somebody told me, Dasso, before you try to open up your mind, first open up your ears. So I began to, okay, let's be patient, open my ears, trying to hear really what they were trying to say. And surprisingly, I began to catch up more words and more words. And even I began to catch up the meanings behind the words. And that's when my Chinese language skill even improved, like really a lot. So that was how I began to mingle with them, understand and work with Chinese locals. I never actually tried to ask my colleagues to understand me or change their behavior for me because I'm FlexPed.
But do you think the company was welcoming this fact that you were kind of forcing them to question their behavior just by being a foreigner in the team?
Well, that's what I actually love about Chinese people. Chinese people are really open to learning, and they also really love foreigners, especially I'm surprised that they really love Korean people. So whatever I say, they're always open to listen. And me trying to open up my mind and open up my ears, actually, I learned from Chinese people because they were always open for my opinion and open for some new, fresh ideas. And that's the reason they hired me, right? So I've never actually get limited to sharing my ideas. They were always welcome.
And how would you describe your soft skills? And how would you, if you had the chance to train these soft skills, how would you train them to, especially to Chinese people?
I developed my soft skills mainly thanks to the coaching certificate. So I'm certified coach, but I got my coaching certificate not to actually become a coach, but I wanted to learn more about the communication, like human-to-human communication. These are something that we never learn from schools or universities. So, and then I heard somebody who's like learning getting a coaching certification program, and then I heard about what it is about, and it was about communication, so that's why I joined this program. And I was really surprised, like, why this should be the mandatory curriculum in any kind of elementary school. I learned so much about the communication, especially what is the listening is about. It's listening is more than just listening the words that you're saying, listening your emotion, listening your energy, right? And that's how I really learned this coaching skills. I listen carefully and ask them back. So this coaching skill is actually, I can say, my main unique soft skills that I'm really grateful that I learned. And this is something that I would love to recommend many Chinese people because I realize that many Chinese people are good at following orders. They just listen, but they don't listen. Do you know what I mean? They take order and do it based on the word itself, but they never listen and try to interpret within their brain and then think and try to ask the question why they gotta do what they gotta do. They're good at following orders, but they're not good at communicating and understanding. So this is some soft skills that I would really recommend many Chinese professionals to gain, and it will be really helpful.
But it's a big challenge to do this. So what's your finding so far? What do you think? How do people change? How do they react to such nudgings to be more creative, more innovative, to listen more, to consider before you speak, not just follow orders? What's your personal finding on this?
When I recall my experience in working at the university, which has the longest history of the oldest university in China, and even though it was a startup organization, it still had a lot of like top to down kind of structure, ordering. The order comes down and the people to follow the order and this kind of stuff. But definitely as a startup organization, I found a lot of places that needs innovation and needs change and implementation. For example, at that time, we didn't even have any CRM system. They never actually questioned about that. All the data were organized in the Excel file, which it has a lot of risk to manage it, the more data is accumulated. And I had to question it. Why are we using Excel file? Why aren't we using a CRM system? And all they're saying is, I don't know, this is how it is. And it was so difficult for me to really let them think. So, do you really think this is an efficient way? Why don't we try something else? I really faced a lot of challenging times to really put them into some new system, implement some new ways. But I think still being patient and communicating consistently is really important. You can't just be frustrated that you tell once and then they don't accept your idea. You gotta constantly deliver, showcase that it really worked. And in the end, they slowly accept the idea. So I think this is something that takes time, that also FlexBets from overseas, outside of China, should understand and be patient.
I want to make this very clear. What you say is the real soft skill that is the added value of FlexPets now is an open mindset and the ability to question the status quo and to work on this and to try new stuff. And from my side, it doesn't look very difficult. It's not a real difficult thing. So what is keeping Chinese professionals back? And what would be, if you say like one advice, what would you say, what can they do to move one step forward further towards an open mindset and ability to question situations?
Well, first, there is a message that I really want to deliver even before to the Chinese or more flexpats. Yes, flexpats, we have an open mindset. We're open to communication. We're open to questioning. We're open to asking why. However, you're going to find that we're going to fail if you constantly have the same perspective as a foreigner. And I think that's a really important thing. I realized at the beginning, I was trying to communicate them within the foreigner's eye, like, why they don't get it? Why they don't understand this is important? Why are they working like that? But I began to understand where this come from. And I realized that, yes, in this structured society, changing a little bit is a huge risk for them. They are afraid of risk. Then what is the opposite of the risk? What do they want then instead? They want certainty. Then I bring them, I communicate them with the certain data, with the certain way of communicating, with the certain case studies to persuade. I think this is how your listening skills comes handy. Like you listen. Okay, you're objective. I understand. Where is it coming from? That is one thing that I want to tell for the flexpats.
So flexpats can help to reduce risk for Chinese professionals to make more open decisions, right? If the risk is controlled.
Yes, yes, I believe so.
That is really interesting because I have the same point of view. But for me, it's easier because I'm a guest and I can make a lot of assumptions while other people, they are in the system, so they cannot question the system. But this is something what I always like to tell to everybody. Even if you're inside the system, you can still take an outsider's point of view. And if you're an outsider like you and me, you can still take an insider's point of view. So I think this is the real flexible part, what we always try to promote at the FlexPad community, to say, let's see both sides. Let's try to influence Chinese professionals, but also let's try to integrate more and not always take the foreign card, right? Always this one. Let's try to mix, but at the same time, stay special. Now, what I want to discuss with you today is you made a big switch from an employee in the HR market to an entrepreneur, and this went through the Shanghai lockdown, correct?
I really had to try hard to see this situation in a Chinese perspective, and it's very understandable in terms of why this is happening. But as a foreigner's perspective, this was really very hard time for me. I've never experienced this huge control in my own life. And I get to experience this. And I try to see this into the Chinese perspective. And what I was surprisingly found is that when I was staying in a one-room apartment for lockdown for 3 months, as well as I was moved to Fangchang to stay, when I get positive results from the COVID test, I moved to Fangchang. I've experienced super organized system and super organized people. And I was super surprised. This is totally different compared to Koreans. If this happened in Korea, the lockdown wouldn't last, I bet, this 3 hours. I can bet that Chinese Korean people would have already rise up.
Yeah.
But here, Chinese people were kind of had a trust in their government and what they're doing. I'm not sure it's a trust or fear. Or I think it's mixed in both. It's not only 100% fear. It's not only 100% trust, but they believe that government knows what they're doing.
And results in obedience, right? They're obedient.
They're very obedient. And I cannot say it's a bad or good because I'm a foreigner. I came from foreign country. I cannot judge based on a foreign perspective whether they're doing right or wrong thing, because everything got to have reason and they have their own system. All I could do is just accept it. And pity me, I was in that situation on that timing. But I'm just, you know, yeah, I got to just recover from my own psychological or physical damage that I experienced. But the rest is just past. And that is something that happened based on the Chinese government regulation.
And then you started your own business, right?
Yes, that is actually the cause of the lockdown. Like during the lockdown, I literally had a lot of time, you know, in your one room apartment. What I really understood is that there were huge distractions in my life. That's what I noticed, because all those distractions gone, I had a plenty of time to reflect on my career, to reflect on what I really want, who I am, and what am I doing, why am I doing, to ask myself a questions. So I asked myself a lot of questions, and in the end, I remember the point, the reason why I graduate. When I'm graduating, I wanted to start my business. So I was like, oh, I forgot about it. I totally forgot about it, because life itself is distraction. You just live, life just happens, and you live, and then you go this career, that career, and then you forget about your first childhood dream, right? And that self-reflection time actually got me think that, okay, this is a good time for me to actually leave everything behind and start fresh. And that's why I came back to the city. I left Shanghai, came back to the city where I started, and I started my business. I set up my business there.
That's amazing. How did you do this? What were your like first 5 steps to build your own business?
Yeah, so first I was super new, and then at that time I was a bit in a rush because I quit my job, right? So I quit my job and I only have like 1 or 2 months of humanitarian visa that I can stay. So I had to set up my company and then get my visa under my company within 2 months. So I hired an agency who's professional in that local city, because every city has a different regulations. So I first hired a agency, and then I literally follow every single step along with her. I hired her, I paid her to do her job, but I didn't like, okay, you do your thing, I don't care. I followed every single procedure so that I can copy the same, so that I don't have to hire her every time I renew my visa. And I wrote it down, the procedure.
You're doing the Chinese way.
Yes. And then the second year, I started to do everything by myself. And can you believe when I started to do everything by myself, my visa got rejected 7 times. 7 single times. I went to immigration office so many times and get additional, like, you need this, that.
There's a reason you hire an agent, right?
Yes, there's a reason for hiring agents. And then I actually, during the time, I was regretting, like, oh, I should have just paid her to do it. But for me, I think myself, this is my learning curve, this is my learning procedure, just first step, right? At the 8th time, I got my visa, and then that was a really great achievement for me. And now I'm confident, because I can navigate, I can do my visa on my own from now on.
So what's your advice for especially young flexpats like you? I think I'm like 10 years older at least. I'm not sure, but what's your advice for young flexpats to start their own business? When you just have a few years of experience and you don't have like a decades of working experience to look back on, but you just want to still do this and not delay. So what did you learn in this process?
Well, first, talking to a lot of people. A lot of people means not only some like single background, but diverse background, diverse industry, diverse age, young to old. I really talked to a lot of people, met a lot of people. I didn't limit myself, because meeting one person is like reading one book, because it's reading their own world, right? My world meets your world. So the more people I meet, the diverse world I find. And that opens up all the possibilities. And that's what I first experienced, came to China, because in Korea, I was tend to network with same set of people, same set of industry, same set of background. But when I came to China, I was like, oh, there are so many other ways to live. Oh, so many other ways to earn money and build up your career. Well, to be honest, I'm no longer young. I may look young because I have a lot of full of passion and energy, but when I always meet the young folks, younger folks than me, who's studying and who's trying to pursue their career, I always suggest them meet a lot of people, talk to a lot of people.
We come back to the Chinese people because I think you help Chinese people to go international and to go beyond their own borders or their own barriers. So, how do you do this? And what's your learning out of this experience?
Interestingly, most of my clients that I help as a career coach are Chinese people who are ambitious to go global or work in a multinational company in China. And when they first come here, it's like, okay, where can I start submitting application?
Just like you when you wanted to be the entrepreneur, right? Just how do I do this? How do I get the visa? Yeah, good.
Where can I find a job opportunity? But I was like, whoa, slow it down, slow it down. And the first task that I always give them is go and find five people that inspires you and arrange a coffee chat with them. Talk to them. Because this first open up their perspective, open up their possibilities, as well as this really clarifies what they really want to do. Because many times when they say they want to do this, but it's usually not the case. When they get it, they realize this is not what I want. I want something else. Why? Because they only look into the outside perspective as like a social media that, yeah, Mackenzie looks super fancy. I want to work in a fancy company. But when they actually start working it, within 3 months, many of them just quit because, oh, this is not what I want. So I'm telling you really want to work in a multinational company as, let's say, a consultant, get a coffee chat with the consultant, hear their day-to-day jobs, get their advice, and then talk to me. Do you really want to do this? Why do I really want to do this? Then we start looking for job opportunities and applying for the job. That's the second stage. The first is always talk to people.
Why do these people need this advice? Doesn't it seem obvious from your point of view?
Well, it's actually not obvious. It wasn't obvious when I was young, actually. I was afraid to talking, like requesting a coffee chat to these like professionals, like working, like imagine like McKinsey consultants, you think like they're super busy. Yeah, of course they're really busy, but it doesn't, they're also humans, right? So the coffee chat, the online coffee chat, because it also shortens the time and then limits all the logistics and whys. I started this during the COVID as well, I myself, because during the COVID lockdown, at the first COVID lockdown in 2019, I realized everybody's at home, everybody's bored. So this is the right time for me to reach out to those huge people who I've never imagined to talk. I reach out to them and arrange a coffee chat. And then surprisingly, they were welcoming it. And that's the reason that I, that's one of the main reasons that I grow. And that's the reason why I'm asking other people to go and out there and ask for the coffee chat. It's really not an easy process. A lot of Chinese, Koreans, they find to be like, would they really spend 30 minutes for us kind of people, you know?
And it works? It works for your customers?
Definitely works. Definitely works. But I give them a heads up, right? Even for me right now, if I want to talk to five people, I send 50 coffee chat messages.
Yeah, you're like a sales guy, right? Pam, pam, pam.
Yeah,
Yeah.
this is normal. But and then you gotta keep into a right tone and manner. You can't just show up and say, "Hey, I want to talk to you. Do you have a 30 minutes on call?" No, you gotta be polite. So I teach them a tone and manner, right tone and manner to outreach. Give them a prompt, right? Why they gotta talk to you? Yeah, study them. You know, what are their interests? Give them some topics that they can think about before the call.
If you work with Chinese professionals and you help them go overseas, go international, and expand their current working environment, what is something that you think they have to change in order to get there?
I love that question because one of the main thing that sets apart between Chinese and I can say like little Asians maybe because it also includes Koreans and other Southeast Asian clients that I work with, based on the maybe cultural context or the societal context, we don't know how to pitch ourselves.
Ah, you need to be better sales guys.
Not only the sales, they don't acknowledge. They don't understand their core strengths and core values because Chinese is like this. Like
Self-marketing. You need self-marketing.
Chinese people think like, oh, like can you play piano? Oh no, I'm not a good pianist. I don't play piano. And then when they begin to play piano, it's a super like
That's
professional
amazing,
pianist.
huh?
But they don't acknowledge it because they're in a like modest. You always gotta be modest. You always gotta be self your lower yourself. Like, oh, nali nali, you know? Like when I say like, oh, you look really pretty today, and nali nali, no, I don't. I'm not fag, you know, like this. So I always have to try to help them to figure out what their core strengths is, and maybe. I don't know. Well, for you, it might be really super easy. If I ask you, well, hey, friends, what's your core strength? And you can give me a list of your core strength. But for Chinese, I give them 10 minutes. They can barely write down one. They can
I
barely
see.
write down one. Yeah.
This is really great. So I hope to get this in front of a lot of Chinese professionals to let them expand their thinking and also connect with you. If Chinese actually do this, if they expand their horizon and they work on this, the self-marketing, the soft skills, everything we discussed today. Now there are still a lot of flexpats in China and they still have a lot of very important jobs. So Do you think we will find the time that there is no need for flexpats, that Chinese professionals with this kind of international open mindset can just close this gap? Because it would be much easier. They speak the language, they can learn English. It would be much easier than to have foreigners in the country, right?
Yeah, so interestingly, this is my recent own research, because I also do my own like career job market research to better up my service. And interestingly, a lot of Chinese companies who have their own overseas offices in the other countries other than China, before they were looking for foreign local foreigners in the local country to manage the local office. But these days, they're looking for Chinese people in the local country to manage the company.
Same like my boss.
Which means Chinese people are also very open-minded, and they have a global mindset that they can even substitute the local people and they become their flexpats. So here I'm not trying to emphasize the competition between the flexpats and Chinese, because it's nothing, it's no use. This world nowadays, you gotta find and create your own position. You can't just continuously compete with other people. I'm going to take over that position, job position. I'm going to take over flexpets positions, right? You got to create your own position with your own unique value that you can bring to the company.
Yeah, I totally agree with this. And I think it's possible. It's generally possible for Chinese to do, for example, my job. Right? I'm leading the internationalization of a Chinese company. And it's very important to have me there, because there's a lot of decisions which the boss is trying to do and nobody would speak up. And I, just like you said, I'm questioning the system and I'm doing some market research. And then after that, everything looks completely different. But you need that first step to question this and to think about, maybe should we do this or maybe do that. And then it takes a few months until you actually see what you didn't see before. And this is my role. It's only to do this, to question something and then to take it. And if we change this, and if Chinese professionals are able to do this in China, and if they can ask for the respect to question such a system, and they get this request, and they can do it in China and out of China, okay, that's amazing. That's really amazing. The situation for us is rather, okay, there is international companies who prefer to hire international talents based on trust and compliance reasons. And there's Chinese companies who like to hire foreigners to open their mind and also help them to introduce them to international customers and international countries and as bridge builders. And all of that could be done by Chinese in the future. But I guess in the time that you and I are working, there will always be opportunities, right? And this is what I'm trying to achieve.
Yes, definitely. And I'm glad that you're making moves, like you're trying to make difference within the company as a leadership position. And that's also what I realized, the importance of leaders in a company, because you got to first understand, why doesn't the staff members don't question? Because they're afraid of the boss. So if the boss, the leader's mindset doesn't shift, you cannot force the staff members. I've also done a corporate trainings, and I've seen a lot of cases of failed corporate training as well, when you train the staff members to have more open-minded mindset and then more global mindset. But if you the leaders don't change, staff members don't change, then there's no use for the corporate training internally. So always when the corporate training, when somebody requests for the corporate training, first got to do start from the leaders.
Back to Chinese professionals. When they work with you, how can they qualify to go abroad, to go to whatever other countries and find other jobs and be basically flexpats in these countries?
Well, this is also that my clients really surprised at, because first of all, they find more, when they are open to more opportunities, they find more opportunities and they're surprised that, oh, I've never thought this is possible. So the usually the procedure is first, we first set up a career goal. What do we really want? What does going global means to you? You know, and why do you want to work in a multinational company? We set up a career goal, right? Where do you see in 10 years? And second, we understand our core values and strengths. What are you good at? What are your core skill sets? And we use those core strengths and our skill sets to do the job research, not limited to China, but all over the world. And surprisingly, a lot of clients find a different job opportunity that they have a chance to apply in overseas countries. And the reason why they couldn't find it before working with me and find it after working with me is a sec two things. First, they have a clear understanding on who they are. And second, they open up their perspectives and then try to search for the more opportunities. They didn't limit their searching criteria, right? So these two things change, and then their opportunity completely change. Can you imagine, like, there are so many Chinese people overseas, so many Chinese companies overseas?
There's a lot of opportunities, right? Abroad, yeah.
Exactly. You gotta first set up a clear intention. Based on intention, you create your own reality.
If you look back on your wonderful career, you shared so much in this conversation already, but what are you really thankful for?
I'm really thankful for people. I realized that when I first leave my country, where I leave behind my family, my friends, I was afraid. I was alone, right? But I met so many people who are willing to support me as much as, like, just like supporting their family. I created my family, my home here. And this is created because of the people, not because it's China, not because of the city that I'm in. It's because of people who you're surrounded with. And what I learned from my own challenges and my own journey is that when I try to really have a pure intention to bring value to the society, people just get attracted to good intentions. People are attracted to good intentions, and they're more than willing to support your whatever you're doing, your career, your business, your studies, whatever. Have a good intention, see what kind of value you can bring out, and you gain much more than what you give.
If you have the chance to leave one key message at the end of this episode, what would it be?
Really bring the value to the society and to the community. And before trying to get what you want, first try to give. Give, 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 then ask. Then you'll get it. And you'll get even more than what you expected.
Now, I want to make this clear because before we were talking about self-marketing, and self-marketing is speaking a lot about what you want, right? So is this a conflict if you're if you give and give and give, and then instead of asking for what you really want?
People misunderstand that personal branding is, oh, I want this, I want this, give me this, give me this. No, actually, life is not about getting what you want, but life is about bringing the value to the world. That's what we call fulfillment. That's why a lot of people who think, okay, I want to be rich, and then they get rich and they get depressed because there's no fulfillment in it. There's no bringing value into it. We, as a human nature, wants to bring value, wants to be feel useful, and wants to be feel fulfilled in their life. And personal branding is literally showing the person, the other person, or your audience, your future, what kind of person you're gonna become, and let them excited about your dream. Let them support your dream. Get them excited about my dream. My dream is supporting 1 million young professionals to navigate and challenge their career development to even further beyond of their limited mindsets. And if I let other people get excited to it, a lot of people are willing to support and willing to get on board on this.
I always ask for help. So you can take this episode, a screenshot or anything like that, share it with your friend, ask your friend to tune in and maybe learn from this and discuss this and try to make up your own mind what you can learn from this episode. And if you can recommend a speaker for this China FlexPad podcast, I always like to get recommendations on this. And of course, you can give us a 5-star recommendation on any podcast app. So with this, thank you very much, Dazol. It was really wonderful for you to be the first Korean guest on the China FlexPad podcast. 谢谢 and 再见.
감사합니다. Thank you so much, Francis.